is Rita.
Rick.
My name is Lee Kasich.
Diane Wilson.
Monica.
My name is Olivia Howard.
Hi, this is Doan Perry from Jethro Tull, and you are listening to ConcertBlast.com.
Welcome to Concert Blast. This is Mike Arnold along with
Tom Thompson
and
Brian Hasbro.
Hello, guys. How
hey,
we doing?
What's going on?
Doing real good.
Sitting in a booth in Old Charlie's in Goodlesville, Tennessee, right off 2 Mile Pikeway. We're going to have a good time tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you, Old Charlie's, for having us tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Michelle, for being here and to invite us over to have our show here tonight.
Can we eat yet?
Can we eat? Yeah. You know our rules.
You
know, we got to do a
hungry
show first.
Oh, right. Dang, or fall asleep. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, boy.
Anyway, Brian and Tom just returned from Atlanta. Have you heard last week's podcast on with Doan Perry? And, man, he was very nice, wasn't he?
He was a great guy to talk with. I never had... Basically, we'd feed him a question, and he'd just go on forever, man.
He would, man. And he just sat there and studied it and just really just, I mean... Very intelligent answers, and I mean,
I noticed
just,
that he's very intelligent. Sounding.
Very, very nice. He just overly welcomed us, and thank you, Doan. We really appreciate it. And me and Brian, I can say for ourselves, I mean, we had a great time with him.
Yes.
And we especially want to thank you. Those seats you gave us,
oh, yes,
were some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life.
We appreciate that, man.
What did y'all get? What did you end up with?
10th row center.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, sweet. Very sweet.
And if you ever want to adopt a couple guys as brothers, man. We're open to it right now.
That's exactly right.
But since you were down in Atlanta and you had 10th row center, I can't wait to see the pictures.
Me neither. Yeah, Brian, that camera of yours, you know.
Hey, the camera worked fine. It was the batteries.
The operator.
Brian ended up buying a brand new digital camera, a really nice one. 7-point-something megapixels.
Two.
7.2 megapixels, and my goodness, what happened? Well, the batteries wasn't charged, of course, as usual. So anyway, we learned something. And so here we go. And hey, guess who just walked up?
What's up?
Joey. Hey, it's Joey. Hey, Joey's our waiter here at Old Charlie. How you doing, Joey?
I'm good. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing right, good.
Right.
Doing
Joey's
good.
Taking care of us tonight, so we want to mention him on our podcast.
Yes.
All right.
We'll all right, we will, thank Joey. You. Thank you very much. Okay, so what we got going on here? So what we want to do tonight, you heard Doan Perry's interview last week, but this week we're going to listen to the review. And since I wasn't there, I'm going to have to turn this over to the boys.
That's right. That's right. The boys are back.
Okay, the boys are back from Atlanta, Georgia, down to Chastain Park. I love that place, by the way.
Hey, it was great.
Isn't it a great place?
No,
love it. I mean, it's like it is literally in the middle of a neighborhood.
It is.
Yes.
It's absolutely wonderful. The sound quality is beautiful. And this time of year, it was very, very comfortable. It actually got a little cool toward
the end.
Did
get a little cool. It sure did.
You can actually see everybody's breath by the time we left.
That's exactly right. But we got there about 3 hours early, and me and Brian's like, okay, we just need to discuss, you know, what some of the questions we were going to ask Doan. And there just happens to be a beautiful pond right next to Chastain Park. Mm. It had picnic tables and everything. So me and Brian sat there and got our list together and everything. Yeah. And it was very enjoyable, wasn't it, Brian?
Yeah, we went there and we started out by sitting on a park bench.
Who else did you see sitting on a park bench?
Tom and I were walking into Chastain Park. We just happened to walk by Martin Barr.
He was sitting there.
He was just sitting there eating like potato salad or something like that.
And Martin Barr, the guitarist for Jethro Tull.
And, yes. I just happened to say, Martin? He said, yes. And I introduced myself, and Tom came running up behind
me.
Sure
he said, wait a minute. He said, Martin.
And I bet you didn't know who he was.
I didn't recognize him.
Nah,
no,
you're right. I wouldn't have.
I did.
Nah, I knew you
I
would
did.
Have.
But
well,
I came back real quick, gave him my card, and he was overly nice to us.
And I came back real quick and gave him his CD to sign for me.
Yes, oh, there you go. So you got his CD signed by him, so that's good.
Absolutely. Brian just happened to have his
CD. The Martin Barr CD, not the Jethro Tull.
No,
that's
correct. One of yeah. Martin Barr's CDs.
Called?
I have three of them. I think it's Exit Stage Left, if
yes.
I remember correct.
Okay.
Wow.
But it was very thrilling. I happened to bring it with me just on that slight instance we might bump into him, and we did.
Now, did you bring any other Jethro Tulls for Ian Anderson to sign in case that slight?
Well, as
no,
a matter of fact,
yeah.
Tom, why don't you say how we got
something else in there? Believe it or not, they were giving away CDs, live CDs of Jethro Tull.
Yes.
And they'd mark on your ticket stub, you know, CD, so they knew they gave you one. And guess what? We had Ian Anderson after the show sign that one.
Absolutely, so, absolutely. We couldn't believe we had such luck there because I've got my copy and Tom's got his.
We sure do.
So we got something actually signed by Ian Anderson also.
Oh, you know what we forgot?
Oh, what'd you forget?
The picture. We forgot to get Mike one. Oh, sorry, Mike.
But I read on the internet here, actually I was on this one, where they ran out early.
Oh,
well,
surprised me.
Actually, I think it was something that they specially recorded through like XM radio and... I'm not sure exactly where they recorded it because I got to read. I got to actually read about it.
That's right.
But I think I really enjoy it myself. I crank it up kind of loud in the car, but then again, I'm kind of a Tull freak anyway. So
yeah, Brian's been he was the very first to be a Jethro Tull fan as when we were teenagers, and he turned us all on. And of course, when you hear the riffs of. I mean, that gets anybody that's into rock music.
Except Don does it a little bit better. He
does
more jazzy stuff to
does.
It. So, I mean, he is a phenomenal drummer, and you got to listen to him because what he does is very subtle. It's not just out there blatant.
Absolutely, and he's a perfectionist, too. I mean, as you heard of our podcast last week, he actually has tapes of each show that he listens before he goes on stage. Just to perfect, you know, everything he does. And he definitely is a perfectionist.
Oh, and I tell you what, guys, Tull, if you wouldn't mind, we'd sure like a tape of that show you did at Chastain
yeah,
Park.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, even if you would mind, we'd still like to have a copy.
Exactly right.
Yeah, we promise
that'd
to
nice
keep it
you.
All to ourselves. I promise.
We'll pay the postage, okay?
Absolutely. Oh, and we'd like to thank a couple of gentlemen after the show real quick. There's a gentleman named Corey, and I forget the other guy's name, from Classic Drummer, who took a picture of me and Tom with Ian Anderson. We'd like to thank you for taking that picture, and we're still looking forward to you sending that to us. And we appreciate it very much.
Absolutely.
Remember the last time we went down to Chastain Park?
Oh, yeah.
The first time. Who did we go see?
Some man named Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And we interviewed Ryan Roxy. Well, today, what came out? The Ryan Roxy podcast with Alice Cooper.
Wow.
And you guys got to get on to Roxy77.com and listen to that. It's a two-parter. This is the first part that I heard this week. I mean, I just heard it today. I think it just came out.
Uh-huh.
And he starts loosening up. Alice does.
Oh.
And it's not the typical questions that we would ask because they know each other for the last 10 years.
Yep.
And it's really neat to hear, as Ryan Roxy calls him, my boss.
Well, he basically is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody out there, get on to Roxy77.com, click on the podcast link, and listen to show number 5, which is the Alice Cooper with Ryan Roxy. It's really good.
Well, Mike mentioned Ryan Roxy. Actually, when Tom and I got there, they escorted us backstage to talk with Don Perry. And where did they take us to? The same room
exactly.
We talked
the same
room.
Dressing room?
Same dressing
one.
Room.
Wow. Absolutely.
Except
absolutely.
Ryan, they ripped you, man. They had better furniture in there than...
Yes, they did. They had to rearrange it. And the funny thing about it, and this is not on the podcast, you couldn't quite tell it, but Don had locked the door so we wouldn't be interrupted. And it wasn't probably 15 minutes into the interview, we heard this knocking on the door. And it knocked, And it knocked. And it knocked for at least 5 minutes.
Yeah, he wouldn't answer it? He wouldn't interrupt you guys?
He said he locked it purposely so nobody would interrupt.
Exactly. Because, I mean, he wanted everything to be as smooth as possible with the interview. And finally, all of a sudden, the door opens up, and guess who it is?
Who's that?
Who is it, Brian?
Mick Jagger.
Well, he was in town.
No, it was Ian Anderson.
He sure did. He walked in. He was shocked because he was afraid, I think, that something was wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that we tied him up and trying to hold him for ransom or something like that.
Exactly.
Would you tell him to take a seat that he was next?
Man, I tell you what, I'd love to it, but.
No, but he made a friend out of town because he was talking about the caterer. So, wish they did have some good food, but we were afraid to eat, afraid we'd fall asleep during the interview.
Well, I did hear in the interview where Dom said, "Can I get you guys anything?"
Yes.
And y'all say, "Well, we have water. Thank you. That's enough."
Yeah, he was very nice.
And we were making Mike proud.
Yes, we were.
We didn't eat a thing.
No, we didn't.
Oh, I'm proud of you.
We studied what we're there to study.
Wake me up when the interview's over.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, you came out of the interview.
Yep.
And you went through the crowd, and I heard you talking to some people.
Yes, I was.
So let's let everybody listen to some of the conversations that went on. I really liked the little girl, Olivia. She was sweet, wasn't she?
And she was really sweet.
Yeah, and her father was really nice, too. I love that story. So y'all listen to this. I don't have to tell you about it. See what you think about this.
Hey, this is Tom Thompson with Contra Blast and
Brian Hasbrook.
We are back in Atlanta, Georgia at Chastain Park. Last time we were here, we saw Alice Cooper and Cheap Trick, but we're here tonight to see Jethro Tull, and we have some people in the audience. We want to say hello, and what's your name, sir?
My name's Lee Kesick.
And Diane Wilson.
So, of course, Jethro Tull is the only person here tonight, so I guess that's who you're here to see, right?
We're here to see Ian Anderson, for sure.
Well, that's true, because Jethro Tull is a band, and then you got Ian Anderson. That's exactly right.
I want to tell you about the first time I ever heard Ian Anderson. I was 13 years old. I sat down at my uncle's house. I put on some earphones, and he blew me away.
Wow.
And I still remember it from that time, from 13. And I'm 50 years old now, so that's
Well, you don't look like you're 50, I tell you that right now.
I'm a little older than 50.
That's
right. Nice song.
That's right. Can you see it? What's your favorite song?
I can't put it to songs. It's hard to pick a favorite album. Of course, I love Aqualung. Thick as a Brick, but I like his really early stuff too. I saw him before Aqualung. I saw him in 1971 get on the stage at a rock festival, Goose Lake. There were more people there than Woodstock, and he walked from instrument to instrument, sent everybody over off the stage, and played 45 minutes by himself. This is not the first time I see him.
It's my first time, though, and I'm really excited.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
Okay.
Good deal.
Okay.
All right, thanks very much.
You guys have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Well, we know we will, won't we?
Yeah.
Absolutely. What are they handing out?
Free CDs.
Free CDs?
Free CDs.
And you're autographing today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Somebody else's initial.
Is that right?
I'm not CDs.
Didn't have Ian Anderson on there, right?
No.
Wow. You want to be live on the internet?
No.
You don't? What's your name?
Monica.
Monica. Monica, what are you doing here, Monica?
I'm handing out free CDs.
And what's the CD?
It's Jethro Tull Aqualung Live.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And can we have one?
Sure, if you have a ticket.
I got more than a ticket. I got wherever I want to go.
I'll have to get a check on that.
Brian, you want a CD?
Thank
you. You get your CD?
I got that, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Hey, what's your name?
My name is Earl Newton.
What's your name, little girl?
Tell him.
Come on. You want to be?
Olivia.
Olivia, what's your last name?
Halleck.
Halleck, there you go. Do you ever listen to anything on the internet?
Yeah, games.
Games and games and games. Well, you know what? We'll give you a card. And you will hear your voice on the internet.
What's your favorite Jethro Tull song?
That's like trying to ask what would be your favorite child.
That's probably right.
That's quite difficult out of the thousands of tunes. I would say probably the closest would have to be Thick as a Brick, the entire album.
There's nothing bad there.
One song.
That is one song.
That's right.
That's incredible work.
That makes it easier.
I came to my first show when I was 12 in 1971 when they played the Atlanta Auditorium. That was their first show in Atlanta.
Wow.
With my father. And I told myself if I ever had a child that their first show would be Jethro Tull. Well, this is her first. She's 5.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. So you're holding up to that.
Yeah, and I was hoping that they'd still be touring 37 years later. They are.
That's exactly. Yeah. A few different band members, but otherwise, Ian's still going good. Yeah, we saw him earlier backstage. I tell you, he's looking great.
Oh, yeah. He's in great, great shape musically and otherwise.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's better than all of us put together.
That's right. Here's our card.
tell him thank you. So my name is Olivia Halleck, and thank you very much.
My name is Olivia Halleck, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And you join in and listen to us, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Olivia's digging it. That's right. You look like you're a Jethro Tull fan. Just maybe, just maybe. What's your name?
Rick.
Rick. Rick, I'm Tom with ConcertBlast.com.
All right.
Favorite songs are? I know there's several of them out there. What's some of your favorite songs?
Of course, Locomotive Breath.
That's the classic. Yep.
Aqualung's great. I like Stand Up Album. The Stand Up Album is one of the best out there, too. And I got to see Ian Anderson. I was in the Navy over in Londonderry, Ireland, and we went over to the Isle of Wight, August 1970. That's where I first saw Tull, baby.
Well, have you seen Ian by himself?
Yeah, I went to the Rubbin' Elbows tour down here at the Roxy. Yeah. Was that a year ago or so? Maybe 2 years.
There,
maybe 2 years.
Time does fly by pretty fast.
It does.
Wow, so you've probably seen what? 5, 6, 7 times?
About 7, 8 times. I've seen Ian. Ian and the boys.
Yeah, we saw him backstage, and he's looking good, and he's excited to go. And, I mean, as ever, he always puts on a great show.
He's great.
No doubt.
I'll keep coming and seeing him.
Absolutely. As long as he keeps,
Ian, baby.
I mean, his health looks great. And wonderful.
He played downtown at the festival downtown about 2 years ago, I guess it was, down there. And he was pretty good down there.
Are you from
Music
Atlanta?
Fest, yeah. From
Tucker. You?
Yeah.
Yeah, he never misses Atlanta. He loves coming to Atlanta, and, I mean, he goes all over the world, and, I mean, he stays so busy anyway, so we'll give you a little card here.
Cool.
Well, thank you very much, man.
Brother.
Have a good night. You look like you're a Jethro Tull fan. Look at that. She's got the same shirt as you've got. What's your name?
My name's Rita.
Rita, how many times have you seen Jethro?
Probably 10 or 12.
Is that right?
The first time was 33 years ago. I took my little brother when he was 14 down to Macon Coliseum to see him.
Is that right?
And then one time I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and staying at a hotel on the beach, and the band was staying there.
Just so happened to be, right?
It just happened to be there. So
hey.
I'm a follower. I'm a true follower.
I bet you were excited, weren't you?
I'm very excited about tonight. Yeah.
What's your top three favorite songs? Narrow it down. I know it's
Aqualung, Bungle in the Jungle. I don't know.
And they're all great, aren't they? That's right.
All of them are wonderful.
Right. He's got that unique sound that you know nobody can duplicate.
No,
absolutely.
No, I can't wait.
Good deals. You're from Atlanta.
I'm
his better half over here.
No,
no.
We just met because we have the same shirt on.
Is that right?
Wow. I'm born and raised here. We were supposed to buy tickets, and the guy didn't buy them, and somebody gave me two tickets yesterday.
Deck,
so
there you are. There you go.
I'm here by myself.
There's our card. Just listed to ContraBlast.com.
All right.
Thank you very much. I know you're gonna have a good time. Alrighty.
Now you've heard the crowd coming in, getting ready.
All pumped up.
All pumped up.
Yeah, boy.
And they're ready for Jethro Tull. Y'all take it away from here. Brian's got the list, and we're going to go through the set list and some surprises by here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they started out with, and Tom is a little newer at Tull than I am, so I'm going to kind of lay out everything right between us here. But they started out with a very beautiful acoustic song. They did mostly acoustic in the first half. They started out with Life's a Long Song.
Wait a minute. You said first half. Did they have two sets?
Yes, it is.
So they had intermission?
They had a 20-minute, he called it a bladder break.
Oh, okay. All right.
He said, sir, for all you old people out there that have to get rid of all the beer you've taken in.
First half was more of an acoustic type, you know, laid back, you know, chill back thing before the rock type second set got going. But yeah, it was more laid back, which is nice.
And it was great. Yeah, I mean, I had no problem at all there.
We're glad you didn't have any problems there.
Okay. But then they went from Life's a Long Song into Skating Away on the Thin Ice.
Skating Away.
I did not expect that song. I mean, I love hearing that song.
On a new day.
But I tell you what, you know, let's talk a little bit.
Come on, Brian, hit it.
I can't do that.
One thing I like to say, you know, going through the list, I tell you what, Ian Anderson, he has still got it.
Oh, really?
I'm telling you what, he looks great. He gets out and does his funky little moves.
I was going to ask you, does he still move around like he used to?
Oh, yeah, and his expressions are just so funny.
Man,
and,
I missed it.
I mean, he looks great. Of course, I mean, he is ever but as talented today as he was, you know, years ago. I mean,
absolutely.
It was phenomenal.
Well, he's not only the obvious leader of that band, but he's also a bit of a comedian still.
Yeah,
he always has been.
He's
absolutely
always cracking jokes between songs and giving you a little bit of history on the song as part of the intro. But you know, after Skating Away, they basically went into an instrumental, which is just Slipstream, and then another song called Beggar's Farm. They actually did, if you can believe, they basically did the whole Aqualung album.
Yeah, he made a reference to say, okay, now this next song is from the Aqualung album. Oh, our next song's going to be from the Aqualung album. And he just kept on it. Basically, got to be a joke.
Yeah, then he basically said, we're actually going to do the whole album.
That's right.
And, which I didn't hear them play when I saw them way back in 73.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
didn't play the whole album back then because I saw them, I think, Passion Play.
Oh, that. You saw the screen and everything.
I saw the ballerina thing back in the
screen. Yes. Like
that. Oh, that was almost like an Alice Cooper kind of thing.
Yeah, that was. That was when they were much more theatrical than they're very more basic a band right now. So, Tom, what did they play after Beggar's Farm?
Well, let me put Mike's glasses on here. Maybe I can tell you a little bit better here. Okay, after Beggar's Farm, it was Up to Me. And then right after that, it was an...
Weathercock. It's about a weather vane up on the...
Oh, you know, you see the roosters on top.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. He did.
Now, tell me a little bit. I'm not familiar with these songs. Tell me a little bit about you. Are you familiar? Were you familiar with them, Brian?
I'm not extremely familiar with these songs, but obviously a lot of the crowd was. Some of them are actually... There's one or two songs actually from Ian's... solo albums over the years. As a matter of fact, like the very next one called Grimanelli's Lament, that was when we were introduced to a very beautiful, extremely talented young lady named Lucia Micarelli. I thought she was from like Milan or something like that, but she's from the Bronx or something
yeah.
like
oh,
that.
Oh, really?
And,
well, I heard Don talking about how talented she was and how young and talented she was during y'all's interview.
That's just an understatement. I mean, she is just the prime, I mean, beyond prime violin player that I've ever seen. I mean, she really gets into it. She concentrates on everything. There's one part that me and Brian were laughing about where somebody outside in the audience was saying, yeah, way to go. And she could not concentrate. She could not get started, you know, and everybody started laughing after a while. But, I mean, she's got her own CD out. They were selling it there. I'm not sure what the name of it is. You know what it is, Brian?
Yes, I do. Music from a Farther Room.
And I would highly recommend it. She is phenomenal.
Well, what kind of music is it?
It's classical.
It's classical.
It's classical? Is it classical rock or just...
Well, let's just say she can play it either way. She actually draws from a bunch of different influences, and she actually does a David Bowie remake of Lady Grinning Soul.
Oh, I love that song.
Oh, man.
And,
the clothes she wears.
Except hers was better.
Of course, there's no singing,
better.
Right?
That's right.
No, but, I mean, I could not believe she had that crowd going absolutely nuts.
She did. You're there to see Jethro Tull, and this young, beautiful woman comes in. I believe 90%, if not 95% of the audience have never heard of her before. And Ian just lets her take off and pretty much just kind of, not necessarily steals the show, but she just entertained us so much that we kind of got addicted to her, and you want to keep on hearing more. And you could tell it from the audience, and Ian can tell it. And she played and played and played. She probably played more than what I'm assuming from other shows, because the audience enjoyed it that much.
And she actually had her CD, Music from a Farther Room, on sale at the concert. Now, I meant to buy it, but I quite honestly just flat forgot. But I have ordered it.
Mm. Okay,
I mean,
good.
It impressed me so much that I ordered it as soon as I got home. I haven't got it yet. Amazon.com.
Yeah. So, where are you, buddy?
They're reliable. You'll be all right.
That's what I was thinking. But she first came out during one of Ian's songs, which is Grimanelli's Lament. And that was when she walked out there barefooted.
Yep.
In October, barefooted. Mm. That's how she plays. She comes out and she played barefooted, and it was just unbelievably soul-stirring, the kind of music that she played. Because after that, she played a song off her CD also, and it was called Aurora. And her stuff is so hauntingly beautiful. I just can't say enough about her stuff. And she kind of went back and forth playing along with Tull's stuff and a little bit of her own.
Yes,
they
mixed it in really nice.
Brian, do you know how they got together and how he found her or she found him? Or
I really don't
to be that
know
young?
How they got together. Well, I mean, I've read a little bit on her website.
She got her own website.
LuciaMicarelli.com. Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's one thing that's great about it, when you log on, it automatically logs in and starts playing some of her music. So it kind of keeps you there. While you're looking through everything. And she's got quite a bit of bio and background in there. There's a PDF file that's got to be like 40 pages long about her. But I got a little bit of her brief background. I mean, she is a child prodigy because she's only 22.
Wow. So,
but she was accepted to Juilliard at 13, I believe.
Wow.
13? I had problems making my bed at 13. So
wow.
But back to this, she hung around for a while, and she started playing this next song with Tull. And Tom, what song was that?
Wandering Around. And then followed after that, which is, it was the theme from The Godfather, which that's just one thing you just can't imagine.
How
you
does
hear
that go?
Live.
I can't remember how that goes. I know it's creepy.
It's kind of creepy, but I mean, it
was actually,
it's like Italian, really Italian.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Like
very
an
much
Italian
so.
Wake or something like that.
I haven't seen it in a while.
It was so strange to go from Wondering Aloud to the theme from The Godfather. and
it was.
Because we were trying to figure it out then, you know.
Because I know really, I've heard that from somewhere, you know.
And is that what you felt?
That's what I mean. You felt it.
You did.
Come here. Do a favor for me. Maybe even do a favor for you later on.
Well, y'all killing me, man. Though, yeah, he sounded good. I've got Marlon Brando in the house.
Right, yeah. Marlon's our special guest tonight.
All you got to do is sound like you're almost asthmatic and you can do it. But it was actually wonderful. And then they went from thing from The Godfather to Cheap Day Return. Kind of segued into Mother Goose from there. It was kind of an extended version. There's a lot of stuff where Doan himself, you can start picking up on his little subtleties. He puts in a lot of little extra stuff that the original recording side just did not hear.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
And he's got such a jazz-based background. He's got such a diverse
background.
You can really tell it
on stage, too, because, I mean, it really brings out that particular type sound when you hear it live.
Because on the stage, he's got, like, a whole thing of plexiglass or whatever they got around.
All the way around it?
All the way around his drum set.
Yeah, so
and I figured out why. He's a powerful drummer.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have that there, the first 10 rows, and that was us, we're in 10th row.
I hate being so close.
Thank you, Noel. You know, where we can see.
We were pretty close to Alice Cooper, too.
Yes, we were. Yes, we were.
Illegally.
I was busy writing everything up in the back. But it was absolutely wonderful. The sound was almost perfect. And here's one song. The next song they played after Mother Goose, I always had a problem pronouncing this. I always say Bourrie. But that's just pretty much a instrumental. Didn't they have the actual intermission then? Tom, is that when they had it?
I believe that's right, because there was an interval in between there, which was nice, gave everybody a chance to do what they needed to do, and Ian let everybody know ahead of time so they could enjoy the show, and he pretty much let them know that this next half is going to be a little bit more rocking. Me and Brian were just blown away on what they started off with. I mean, it brought back memories of a man named Freddie Mercury coming out by himself on the piano, and what they play, Brian?
They started playing Bohemian Rhapsody, but actually, Lucia, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, but she...
I think it is Lucia.
Lucia.
That sounds right,
Lucia.
Yeah. Lucia.
Micarelli.
Yeah!
There you go. You got better at that.
Oh, joy, gosh.
But what more than a perfect song to start off the second set with?
Oh, so you started the second set off with this.
With Bohemian Rhapsody.
Did anybody sing?
Oh, yeah, there was people out there singing it. I mean,
no, I'm talking about on stage.
No, the crowd sang it.
The crowd sang it?
Yeah. The crowd sang it.
We just couldn't believe it. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Do it, Tom.
Just kill a man.
Oh, my ears.
So the crowd sang Bohemian Rhapsody while the band played it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was just unbelievable.
How far did they go into it?
They didn't play the whole thing, did they?
No, I think it was more like about half. I'd say about half of it
through the end. And then they broke into...
Cashmere, they broke into next, which, I mean, here you go again. You know, you're going, wow, how can you beat Bohemian Rhapsody? And then, here comes Zeppelin, and you're going, wow, this is... And what I'm called starting off the second act is phenomenal.
And what I love after they finished that, I mean, which was phenomenal, and the crowd was screaming their heads off. Ian says, I really don't remember those songs. I was busy then.
Yes, he did. He did.
He was busy then, wasn't he?
Yeah, busy then.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know, speaking of Queen and Led Zeppelin, there was a little reference to the Stones, who just happened to be playing the Phillips Arena that night.
Yeah, same night, yeah.
He even mentioned it, too. What did he come out with?
Well, he came out and started playing. He didn't mention it at all.
Oh, yeah.
He just started playing.
He played something on the flute?
Oh, yeah. He played I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Yeah.
Really?
About 10 seconds, you know.
About 10 seconds of it, and he said, I would thank you. You had choices, and you chose to come see us.
And I really appreciate y'all seeing me tonight. Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Well, I appreciate you keeping the ticket prices down so we could afford to come see you. That's what I would say.
Exactly. Thank you.
Absolutely right. Sorry, Mick. $350 a pop is just way beyond my capacity.
Absolutely. $60 up by the bleachers,
if you're lucky.
Hallway.
In the
bathroom. Okay, after that, Lucia. They let her play another song from her album, She Is Like the Swallow. And then they broke into another song, which is Mike's pretty much all-time favorite.
All right.
Cross-Eyed Mary, man.
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
The song that Mike swore they weren't going to play.
No. I know it.
That's right. Hey, we got a guest here.
Hey, come on in here. What's your name, man? We got a friend of mine just walked in. Have a seat.
That's
We're
right.
We're talking about Jethro Tull.
You know that guy, don't you?
Oh, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. I was with him today.
Oh, get with him.
You too?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's why he can't get with me. This is actually Tim Baines. Tim Baines and I know each other for a few years. And well, how do we know each other, Tim?
I've never seen you before in my life.
And you're better for it.
Oh, yeah. So.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not admitting it.
He just thought there was free food later on.
My stage name.
There you go.
That is your stage name, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Tim is actually my minister and where I go to church, and I have to listen to him preach every Sunday. Well, the Sundays I don't sleep.
Yeah. Oh. When is that?
But anyway, we're going to continue on. Go ahead there.
Oh, well, after Cross-Eyed Mary, they played a song that was...
Cross-Eyed Mary!
Oh, yeah, buddy. Great.
It was kind of a little tribute and a little hope for a little better life for a former bass player of theirs. I believe his name was David Pegg, I believe.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But it's called In the Grip of Stronger Stuff. So he was dealing with some issues there, and we hope he does get better.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, Tom, what would they play after
him? 43 was next.
Another Aqualung song, which is, you know, pretty much most of the album. There
exactly.
are a couple more. And from there, they went from basically kind of an intro into this. They actually used the Flying Dutchman. They went into My God, and I thought it was called Breakfast in Budapest, but it's just called Budapest. And then they played just a few songs everybody here may remember. Tom, right. What was that first song?
And we were waiting and waiting and waiting for it. And it was Aqualung, you know. And it was just, of course, that crowd just went crazy then. I mean, that's one thing they were waiting on. They heard Aqualung. This is from another song from Aqualung. And finally, here comes Aqualung. So the crowd just really got fired up then.
And, after that, they went into a song called Wind Up. You'd recognize it, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And you listen to it because it's kind of slow starting in, gets faster in the middle, and slows down at the end. And it's a very brilliant exit song. So after about three minutes of yelling?
At least 3 minutes. It seemed longer, but it probably was 3 minutes. Then the song that everybody knows.
What's that?
Locomotive Breath, man.
Oh,
oh man.
Dun, 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 dun.
There wasn't a person in that crowd that wasn't singing that song.
I thought you were going to say there wasn't a dry eye in the house, man.
And me and Brian were looking around, and I tell you what, they almost, I think, very close to pack that house. I mean, there was at least 6,000 people there singing and screaming.
And the capacity was only like
67 something.
So they had a wonderful, wonderful showing there, and we had a heck of a time. And Don Perry, again, Tom and I would like to thank you for your
time. Yes, sir.
And Martin Barr, thank you for signing my CD. And Ian, thanks for breaking in the middle of Don Perry's interview.
That's right.
We appreciate that.
Yep. Yeah, I cut that part out because you couldn't really tell who was that came in.
I know. No, you couldn't. I wish. I kind of put the microphone kind of sideways there, but it didn't catch it.
It didn't catch him picking up. Like when Eric Singer came in on our interview with Ryan Roxy. You could tell who that was.
Yeah, that was
easy. I mean,
he was
sitting there carrying on a conversation, swapping addresses with Brian all of a sudden within, 2 minutes?
Exactly.
Well, when we
did a tribute to Cleveland. That's Ryan said. That was
hilarious. That's right.
So the show ended with the one encore?
Yeah, basically.
So wait a minute. They got some songs missing somewhere.
Yeah, thick as a brick. What happened to that brick?
That's what I was going to say.
I couldn't believe it. I was real surprised.
How about Bungle in the Jungle?
Bungle in the Jungle is another one. I don't know. I mean, Lucia was in there, and I mean, like I say, we thoroughly enjoyed her, but it did fill a set list.
Living in the Past?
Living in the Past, yeah.
They played it in the past, but...
Teacher?
No, the teacher told me no. Sorry.
I know. But, I mean, it was still phenomenal.
But he played all night long anyway.
He still played two and a half hours.
It's when you've got a 68
yes,
their first album.
We didn't give them any slack. We didn't give Alice Cooper any slack either, you know.
That's right. Why did you play this song?
Why didn't you guys play about 5.5 hours and you could have got it covered?
Yeah, but a mere two and a half hours. I think I could have handled that, couldn't you, Brian?
I could have handled a few more hours.
It was getting cold,
but we were buying T-shirts and stuff,
That's exactly right. But you can see a picture of Dome Perry on our website. He's in the middle. He's a very big guy between me and Mike there. So if you want to know what the looks like. Oh, that's right. Mike, I forgot you weren't there.
I was there. I was driving. I know.
That's right.
Now, tell me what happened after the show.
After the show, we went to the meet and greet. And I'm telling you what surprised me is... 10 people went backstage, and me and Brian were 2 out of the 10.
Wow.
And I was
privileged.
I'm telling you. And we were back there, and, you know, we just figured, you know, we wouldn't see Ian Anderson. We saw Martin Barr. He came back there and talked to a few people. And then Dome Perry came back there and was talking to other people. Next thing you know, we looked around, and there's Ian Anderson.
And? Y'all talk to him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for a few minutes. And,
he's
you
very
know,
nice.
Give him a card?
Gave him a card of our concertblast.com. That's right. So hopefully
and had our picture made because very nice guys from Classic Drummer.
ClassicDrummer.com.
In Smyrna, Georgia.
Yes.
Took our picture and, you know, as soon as you can forward us that picture, we'd sure appreciate that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to put on a website. Yeah.
Sure would.
And the great thing about that, the last one to leave the room was Dome Perry, who was talking to the gentleman from ClassicDrummer.com. And then he came over, you know, he was concerned about what we thought. You know, he actually asked us, do we sound okay, man?
Yeah, he really
did. Sound okay?
I mean, Brian wanted to leave. I said, no, I think he kind of wanted to talk to us. It's one of those things he kind of looked over the side at us a little bit.
I wanted to get food, man.
I know you.
It was getting a little late. But sure enough, I mean, he was so concerned about how'd I sound. I mean, was everything just right? I mean, and we said, it was phenomenal. You know, and he said, how was your seat? Brian,
did he really say that?
He really did. He said, how was the seats?
Were the seats okay?
We could not ask for any better seats.
You can't buy seats like that.
No way.
Unless you know somebody.
Luckily, Ann took care of us there. So, again, Ann, we thank you very much for that. We just cannot tell you enough how much we appreciate you.
And who's next, Ann?
That's right, Ann.
Come on, Ann.
I know you can. That's right.
Gimme.
We're not that picky, Ann. I mean,
No.
I mean, look
that's
who we hang
around. Grand
that's right. I mean, what can we say?
And besides that, look who we hang around with. I mean,
that's exactly right.
But, yes, we do thank you. And we thank everybody out there listening to us. And we also want to thank everybody for voting for us on PodcastAlley.com.
Absolutely.
And actually through ConcertBlast.com. We got a vote link there. We thank you for signing on to our website and voting for us. And you've done that already, right, Tim?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got about a few more days left for October. Please get us in the top 50.
That's right. So you haven't voted yet.
If you haven't voted for in October yet, get us in the top 50. Now, this morning, I think I checked, it was like 66 or something like that.
We can do better than that.
So we are so close.
We can do better than that.
We get about 30 people to vote for us.
And if you have already voted this month,
we would be in good shape.
You know, again, you can vote every single month. So don't forget November.
So Doan, Martin, Ian.
That's
right. If you want to log in.
Classic Drummer people.
ClassicDrummer.com. I tried to write all you guys, but.
That's right.
We've made it easy for you.
That's right.
So we need to get up in the top 50
because
each month we have grown in our popularity votes.
We have.
We started off in the thousands. We went to like 300. We went to 100. Last month we were at 73.
I think that's right. Yeah,
72, 73.
Yeah. Yep.
And all you corporate people out there, if you want to talk to us about podcasts or something, we'd be willing to let you fly us almost anywhere.
Right. I was going to say,
and car rentals.
That's right.
And people who want to give us things to give away on the air.
And hotel suites.
And hotel suites. Oh. See, those are the kinds of sponsors we're looking for, Tom.
That's exactly right. I mean, because we could really get your name out there, and believe me, it'd be well worth it.
All right. So, thank you again for tuning in. This is Mike signing off.
Tom signing off.
And Brian.
And thank you, everybody. See you next time. Right. God bless you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for letting me be myself again.